Call it kind of ho-hum here, ho-hum, another week and another pole position for Lewis Hamilton. He's claimed his 100th pole, and just kind of give me your thoughts on that and, you know, the race in Spain and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty awesome weekend all around. I mean, the track in Spain, the Barcelona Catalunya track is, you know, it's notoriously difficult to pass on because, you know, same thing as we talk about so many times is there's not a lot of hard braking zones. So, you know, realistically, you know, turn one is about the best place to go, although a couple of drivers made really awesome passes on the outside of turn three. You know, and unless somebody has a major screw up, it's hard to keep up. But yeah, another one of these back and forth races that we've been talking about since the beginning of the season, where, you know, Verstappen is getting super, super aggressive on the starts. And, you know, people are calling it good racing. I say it's pretty questionable, but, you know, he's getting to the point of, you know, getting a decent launch where he can kind of suck up behind Hamilton. They get to the corner, and Verstappen, in a lot of cases, is really not making the turn until late into the corner, which is forcing Hamilton wide. You know, he's done this about three times this year so far on the opening lap. Takes the early lead. It seems like, as far as race pace goes, you know, the Mercedes is really starting to catch up. What they did have for an advantage on the straight line, it seems like Red Bull, you know, with this debut of what people are calling the bendy wing, they really maximize their straight line speed. It'll become a decision for the FIA whether that's a legal device or not. You know, it definitely contravenes what the spirit is, that these aerodynamic parts have to remain stable and they can't be altered, which is why, you know, Mercedes lost what they call the dual axis steering system last year. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, really good. I mean, Hamilton is off to his best start in his career. You know, Verstappen's off to the best start in his career and, you know, likely would be leading the championship if Hamilton wasn't such a, you know, a beast behind the wheel.
Something happened with Verstappen as far as running out of tires. Is that like an error of judgment? Is that a calculated risk? Like how does this happen when it seemed like it was quite important in the outcome?
As we've talked about a few times, you know, over the last bunch of years, these teams have dozens, you know, up to, you know, 50, 60, 70 people working at the track and as well back in their factories that are running simulations and, you know, calculating strategy of, you know, how fast can we go over a period of time? If we pit, where are we going to come out? Like, they're working on all these different scenarios. And when you're leading, you have the advantage of clean air and you have the advantage of, when you're catching lap cars in Formula One, the FIA, the race director will flash blue flags. You have to, by the third time you see a blue flag, you have to pull over. Otherwise you'll be penalized. So the leader has a certain advantage in that respect, but because the tire fall off is a little bit more significant this year, the people who decide to pit first, they get the benefit of new tires where they get to come out, they're going to start running faster lap times. So if you're fairly close on the track, you make an early pit stop, put new tires on. By the time the guy that's leading has the chance to respond, you've closed the gap and theoretically you've got out in front. So sometimes leading isn't always the best strategy. The trick with these guys is you've also got to be able to, you know, if you're not the fastest car, it doesn't really matter. And on Sunday, you know, Mercedes definitely showed that they were the faster car. I mean, Hamilton was keeping in the wake of Verstappen in the second stint. But by the time they decided to turn the race into a two-stop race, it was too late for Red Bull to respond. And they basically, you know, were relegated to second place. I mean, Hamilton just destroyed Verstappen once his tires were so cooked that he couldn't keep up. Then they had no choice but to pit. They lost the lead. came out like 30 some seconds behind. But I mean, you know, Hamilton ran Verstappen down from like 22 seconds back.
Talking all things racing with the Cantork Racing Report and Colin Livingston. Colin, flipping over to NASCAR, Martin Truex Jr. Gets another win. You know, is he kind of in that zone as well when you look at his success recently?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Martin Truex is just one of these all-around great racers. You know, he probably needs to up his game a little bit on road courses, but doesn't matter what style oval, short tracks, he's excelled at. You know, speedways, super speedways, he does really well. Restrictor plate, you know, again, is more of a crapshoot than anything. But, you know, last weekend, Joe Gibbs definitely, whatever they figured out for their platform, they did a great job. You know, three of their four cars finished in the top five with, you know, Truex winning, Busch in third place, and Denny Hamlin walking away with a fifth. So, you know, but the track on the weekend, I mean, it's a real anomaly. It's one of the most historic tracks that are out there, with, you know, the abrasion that the surface is so abrasive, the tires fall off so much. It's really, really, really difficult to keep the cars under control. And last weekend, NASCAR ran what they call their 750 package, which is a combination of real high horsepower and lower downforce, which, again, really, really made the cars difficult. And, you know, that's where you also start seeing the better drivers really start to excel in those situations.
Colin Livingston joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. And Colin, we can call it the month of May. Officially kicks off today. You got the Indy Lights practicing on the road course at International Speedway. Then you've got IndyCar practicing and qualifying tomorrow, racing on Saturday. It's a pretty busy time leading up to the 500.
Yeah, I mean, man, this is a real awesome time if you're a motorsports fan, especially if you're a fan of open wheel racing. You know, these guys getting to, you know, hit the road course here. You know, the road course is adequate. It's definitely nowhere near as special as the oval, but you know, I always go back to my time kicking around in the garage and being around some of these guys. And, you know, hopefully people understand what kind of pressure and what kind of workload these teams are under, because they haven't had much time to turn their cars over that they've run the first, you know, three weekends, four races of the season. Now they need to get into Indianapolis, you know, mode where they have, you know, the bigger teams will probably have two cars prepped. So they'll have their road course car ready to go, and then they'll have their 500 car, you know, mostly ready to go. Some of the smaller teams, though, they only have, you know, a car and then a backup car. So they need to have their primary car, you know, turned over. You know, road course trim here now, Sunday night, they'll start taking the thing apart. And I mean, they'll take it down to the chassis. You know, they'll pull their road engine out, or, you know, depending on where they're at with the mileage on their engine. Then they got to completely rebuild these things, and they've got 2 days to do it. You know, and, you know, hopefully they don't sustain any damage, because that just makes things more difficult. But, you know, these guys, I mean, I still remember some of the engineers and crew chiefs we've worked with. And, you know, I've seen both extremes where, you know, our Canadian buddy, Todd Malloy, who was Alex's crew chief, you know, at Brian Herta Autosport. I mean, that guy lived at the track. He would be there first. He would leave, you know, late. He would put in, you know, 16 to 20 hour shifts for two straight weeks, just pouring over data and, you know, making sure that every I's dotted, every T's crossed. And, you know, then I've seen the other side of things where, you know, we had one crew chief, and, you know, I won't say where we were at or what was going on, but I mean, the crew chief would show up, you know, the crew was actually in jeans, which is like unheard of, on pit road. You know, he would leave midday because he wanted to go cut the grass before, you know, before it rained. And, you know, I think, it's not too hard to predict that, the results weren't so good that year, but, yeah, these guys are going to be, you know, super, super, you know, bagged by the end of the 500. And then, you know, even after that, they've only got a few days before they have to be in Detroit for a doubleheader. So, you know, I hope people appreciate the hard work that these guys are all doing, and gals, people, I should say.
Yeah, you know what? It's a super busy time of year. Pretty exciting, I think, for that. Quickly to the local karting scene. You guys are able to hit the track, but only five people maximum at the track at any given time. So is that just five drivers are allowed on the course at one time, or does that mean like there's one person overseeing it and then four racers? How does it work?
Because we're in testing and practicing mode, we don't have any officials. So we're not required to have that. It's five people at the facility. So, our group off Canberra Carters, we run a particular category and we're designated for Wednesdays. And that's the only time we're allowed at the track. The other groups are spaced out, through the rest of the week. But yeah, no, five people at the track. Last night we had three time slots. I think we started about 2 o'clock and go till 8 o'clock. But yeah, it was great. I mean, yesterday was a crazy day. I did a full hour of training trying to lose some of the winter gravy. And, then after a full session, trying to get on the track and turn some laps. I mean, I was able to do just fine because it was just shakedown laps and nothing too serious. But, boy, this morning and through the night, I felt a few karting pains that I forgot about, but they're just great to have.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that, Colin. Best of luck with the workouts, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds good, guys.